Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we investigate the book of 2 Timothy and discover powerful truths about mentorship from a father-to-son perspective. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Sure do appreciate you joining us for yet another excursion into the Word of God. We are in the exciting book of 2 Timothy, and we are almost done with the first chapter. Caleb, I feel like we're going at a snail's pace, but hey, we're picking up a lot of principles along the way.
Yeah, it's the amazing part of God's Word. The more you read it, the more there is. It's just so rich, the book of 2 Timothy, so I'm looking forward to today's podcast as well.
And we've been talking specifically about discipleship principles, mentorship principles. Last episode, we talked about Timothy holding fast the form of sound words. And it's important that mentors communicate to the people that they're discipling just what are the priorities. Mm-hmm. And Paul constantly came back to Timothy, the priority is the Word of God. The priority is the Word of God. And I wonder, is that a priority that you're communicating as a mentor, as a dad, as a mom, as a pastor? And even what you said, I think, an episode or two ago, Caleb, about your actions speak louder than your words. Sometimes we communicate, well, the Word of God's important, we say it out loud, but are we indicating that in our preaching and teaching? Are we indicating that in our own behavior, in the way that we memorize and study? Mm-hmm. I wonder.
Yeah, no, that's so good. And it's, especially with young people today, more than, you know, anything, you know, something that would turn them off to the gospel and the Word of God is seeing hypocritical, you know, mentors and leaders. And, you know, to a degree, we're all hypocritical. But, you know, we need to be careful as mentors that we aren't, you know, speaking out of, you know, both mouths there. We're not, you know, saying one thing and then living another life. We need to make sure that we're having that consistency of the life backing what we're saying, and how much more that will encourage and motivate others.
Hmm. Well, that's good. Look at verse 14. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep, guard it by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. The good thing that was committed, when Paul used this language throughout his epistles, this was a reference to the gospel message itself. So that good thing, verse 14, which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So, Timothy, the number one stewardship obligation you have is to the gospel. Paul was very careful to emphasize this to the Corinthians. Hey, I want to preach Christ and Him crucified, and let people consider us stewards of the mysteries of God, the message of Christ. And Timothy, that good thing has been now committed to you. You've got to hold on to this. Hmm. Caleb, do you remember the commercial? I don't know if they're showing it much anymore, but it's, I don't know if it's a bank or an investment firm. I don't know what it is, but it shows a man go up to a random stranger in public, and he gives him a briefcase with $1 million in it and says, hey, can you just guard this for me? Yeah. And it just shows the guy like all nervous, guarding this briefcase, right. A total stranger.
Yeah.
And you think, what a great illustration that we have been given a trust, not by a total stranger, but by mentors and by the Lord himself, really. And we have something far more valuable than $1 million, the gospel. Yeah. And yet, are we guarding it?
Hmm. Yeah, that's a great illustration, and there's so many things in our life that I think we're careful about, and you know, for instance, money, you know, could be one of them. But is the gospel, is that something that we are holding near and dear to our hearts, but also something that you are valuing and you're guarding, is something that you also are willing though to share it when it's needed. So, you know, God says, you know, or Paul says to Timothy, he says, hey, guard this, you know, keep the gospel close. But how are we supposed to utilize that gospel? It's by sharing it with others. So it's not just for us, like that man with the money was just to hold on to it and not do anything with it. But God says, hey, how you guard the gospel is by sharing it with others. And so if you just think in your own personal life, just go through your week and how many times are we actively trying to give the gospel to other people? Or has that been that time recently?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic point, that to guard the message is to share the message. And then I would add to that, not only is guarding the message sharing the message, but I would also say that guarding the message is not changing the message.
Yeah.
And it's easy sometimes to change the gospel. Sometimes people change the gospel by making the gospel kind of some like cheap ticket to heaven.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to go to heaven? Pray this prayer.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the gospel.
Yeah.
Or they'll change the gospel by saying, well, let's make it hard. You know, you want to be saved? Well, then trust Jesus, but also do this and this and this. And, and that's adding to it.
Yeah.
So guarding is sharing it. But I think guarding is also making sure that we're telling it in all of its biblical essence.
Yeah, no, that's another great point. And especially in this world today where you see a lot of that prosperity gospel and progressive Christianity where they're cheapening what the gospel actually is to make it feel good and to make it, you know, more acceptable, or this is just one way to God. But at the end of the day, we have the truth of the gospel, and Jesus is the only way, and this is the only thing. But also, we're not cheapening it as well, like you said. It's not something that's just some fire insurance to get your way out of hell. But it's a belief, and it's a belief in the person of Jesus Christ and committing yourself to Him. So I think it's a great thing. It's not only just sharing it, but also making sure that we're not changing it.
So to kind of conclude this first chapter, not that Paul wrote in chapters, but we do divide the Bible in most cases, and I think at right places, good divisional points. Look at what Paul says in verse 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. So obviously Timothy is in Asia Minor. He's in the chief city of Asia, Ephesus. So he said, all they that be which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he might find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. So there's a lot we could say about these verses, but what is Paul driving at? I think what Paul is driving at in verses 14 through 18 is, Timothy, there are examples of what I'm talking about. Guarding the gospel, not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The things that I've just warned you about, the things I've just encouraged you about, there are some examples on both sides. So, yeah. Timothy, you know that most people have quit. Even people like Phygellus and Hermogenes. Now, who were Phygellus and Hermogenes? We have no clue.
Right.
There's no information about them. But what do we know?
That Timothy and Paul both knew them. Yeah.
Timothy and Paul, they must have been famous enough that Timothy and Paul both knew them. So you know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, Timothy, there are some people that you know and that I know that have not been faithful. They've not stayed true. Don't be like them. And Timothy, there are some people that you and I both know that have been a shining example of everything I'm telling you. Okay? Be like them. So how do we view this from a mentorship standpoint? We view it from the standpoint of it's important for mentors to use real life examples. And you know what Paul's doing here? Calling names.
Yeah.
And right. He's saying, Timothy, hey, don't be like this guy. Be like this guy.
Yeah, no, and it's not that Paul is you know, out to get anybody, but he's just saying, Timothy, I care about you too much not to further expand upon this. And like you said, using real life examples can be some of the most effective tools. And I remember even growing up, as we were learning about different principles and different things like that, you know, there were times that, and I won't mention any names, but
go ahead, say them,
call them out. It's biblical. But there were times where you and Mom would say, "Hey, you know, there's some things we're concerned about," and hey, and it was sometimes it was some of my friends, some people that I cared about, and you said, "You can't be doing this like so and so." Hey, but this kid in your class or this kid in the school, that's somebody, you know, we really like, and we really would like for you to, you know, be better friends with them. And sometimes as a mentee, it's tough to hear because those might be people that you esteem, people you care about, or some of your peers. But Paul was so concerned about Timothy, he wasn't afraid to say the hard things and give the warnings, but also he was giving him something he can look to himself.
And it's interesting, and thanks for that. I mean, that little trip down memory lane. And I do remember having those conversations.
Yeah.
I do remember saying to you things like, Caleb, be friendly to everybody.
Yeah.
But only be friends with people that are going to help fertilize your relationship with Jesus. And, you know, those are tough conversations, but both for a person to receive and for parents to have. But they're conversations we need to have. I find it interesting, too, that Paul was not afraid to point out some negative examples, but he really emphasized the positive example. Mm. And most of what he said in detail, he didn't go into detail about the negative examples, but he went into detail about the positive ones. Hey, Onesiphorus. He offered to refresh me. He was not ashamed of me, of my chain. When he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently. He found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. So, Timothy, here is a man that had a consistent testimony over the years that was obvious to you and to me. And even in my darkest days, he was there for me. Timothy, that's what I'm talking about. How important it is for us to take truth and show some real life examples. That's what makes truth understandable, when you show real life examples of how it works.
Yeah, it kind of sheds light on it and gives them something tangible that they can look at. I think it's also neat that the way that Paul does it, he says, like you pointed out, he doesn't really get into the detail about the other two because Timothy knows. He knows what's that. So he doesn't need to, you know, keep harping on that. He knows exactly. But also at the same time, you know, Paul is also lifting up this person as well and just showing that he cares about those people. He's willing to speak highly of those he has taught and he has mentored along with Timothy.
So maybe today, my friend, you would identify some people in your life that maybe are not a good influence, not helping you on your journey to follow Jesus. Be careful. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And maybe what you need to do is think about these time-honored Bible principles, like not being ashamed of the gospel, like holding fast to the Word of God, and identify some people that you know in your life that have lived that way, and seek help and mentorship from them. Look to their example, and God will help you as you do that. So I hope that helps today, my friends. I hope you have a great day in the Lord. And as Caleb said a moment ago, I hope that you look for opportunities to share the gospel here and there. I know that God would be honored by that. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.